On our teaching episode today, we are talking about having a heart that is soft towards God, having a willing spirit. What does that look like? Our verse is from Ezekiel 36:26, and it comes from a context that we really need to kind of pick apart in order to apply this verse to our lives. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at where this verse fits into the bigger story of God's word and how then it applies to our lives. I can't wait for you to join me.
Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives.
Hey friends, it's Natalie, and I am so glad to have you here with me today for our teaching episode. We are talking through Ezekiel 36:26. It is the words of God for us and for his people in the Old Testament during the time of Ezekiel. So let me read it to you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Guys, this verse is so good. And I have to confess, it's a verse, as I've memorized it, that has been following me around. And maybe in a way that I don't want it to. I'll be honest. So oftentimes I can be in the thick of a disagreement with somebody and I choose to have a heart that is hard instead of a heart that is soft, and a spirit that is unwilling instead of a spirit that is willing. So oftentimes when I feel convicted about a sin in my life, I can harden my heart and say, it's not that big of a deal. And instead of having a soft heart towards God and saying, yeah, maybe this isn't a thing. Maybe I need to give this up. Whatever it is, whether it's towards people or towards God, so oftentimes I choose to harden my heart. I choose to have an unwilling spirit. And I think that that is definitely something that this verse can call to mind in us as New Testament believers, that we have been given a heart of flesh, that we have been given a new spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. And those beautiful truths about us are things that we want to live in and to live out. But if we look at this verse in its context, it gives us an even deeper understanding of what's going on and what these things mean and what they meant to the original hearers. And I tell you what, it is actually more beautiful when we read this verse in its context and we understand what it meant then for us now, as we can apply and think about this verse as New Testament believers who have experienced the love of Jesus and the new heart that he gives us. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today. We are going to talk about the big picture story of scripture, specifically in Ezekiel. And we're going to talk about how this verse fits into that story, and then how this verse can fit into our own lives and into our own stories. So let's start with that big picture story. This is a promise from God to his people in the Old Testament. It is a promise from God to his people when they had sinned greatly again and again and again and again. If you know the story of the Bible, you know that God's people are repetitively turning away from him. And God is constantly making promise after promise, beautiful promises of restoration, of redemption for his people. We see that throughout the whole Bible. And in this specific part of the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, God's people had been living in the promised land for hundreds of years. And during that whole time, they had really, in so many ways, fallen away again and again and again. Instead of choosing to have soft hearts, they're unable. They have stony hearts and they don't follow God. And again, they disregard him. They disregard his promises. They seek other gods and they do some pretty detestable things. And God warns them again and again through his prophets, hey, judgment is coming if you don't turn from your ways. And yet again and again, they don't. So where we find this verse is in Babylon. The people of God have been captured and taken captive there. They're land and their city, Jerusalem, have been ransacked, and they are right now under the heavy hand of God's judgment. And in the midst of that, there's a priest, and his name is Ezekiel. He is 30 years old, and he has been taken captive. He's living in Babylon, outside of Babylon. And we see him in the beginning of this book. He's turned 30, and this is the time in his life where he's supposed to start going into the temple and representing God's people to him and representing God to his people and making sacrifices and just serving the Lord in this way. But instead, he's in captivity, and eventually soon the temple is going to be completely destroyed. So God says to Ezekiel, I want you to speak on my behalf. And not only that, but I'm going to take you not just into my temple, but I'm going to reveal to you my throne room. So there are these terrifying heavenly creatures, and you see the throne room of God himself. And God says, you are going to be my mouthpiece. You are going to be my representative. And so the whole book of Ezekiel is Ezekiel either revealing and saying to the people God's words, or him actually acting out these things to the people and receiving visions from God. So the first third of the book, chapters 1 through 24, we see Ezekiel explaining the judgment of God on Judah and on Jerusalem. And then in the next section, chapters 25 through 32, Ezekiel explains how God is going to judge the enemies of the people of Israel. And then finally, in chapters 33 through 48, this is when the temple of God is completely obliterated, and a messenger comes all that way, 700-ish miles out to Babylon, and tells Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is devastated. And at that point, God says, this is not the end of your story. I will redeem you, and I will restore you. And even in the beginning parts of the books, you see glimpses of God saying, hey, I am going to give you a new heart. I am going to restore you. But Ezekiel chapters 33 through 48 is a revelation of God to his people that I will return and bless you. You will experience my relationship and my blessing again, and I will bring you back into the land. But let me just tell you guys, the temple fell in 586 and they did not return till 538. So almost 50 years later. Just keep that in mind. Sometimes we think that our timing is like, okay, God said he's going to do this and it's going to be beautiful. And sometimes it's a long wait. Well, they have a very, very, like, think about your life. Think about 50 years. I'm not even 50 yet. That's a really long time. And yet God gives these promises to them. I'm going to read you some of those promises right around where our verse is, verses 24 through 29. And so our verse is 26, you'll hear it in the middle here. And I just want you to hear who is doing the action. Who is doing the work in these verses? God says, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. Who's doing the action? God is. God is the one who's gathering his people back in. God is the one who's giving them back their land, who's cleansing them from their impurities and their idol worship. God is the one who's removing their hearts of stone and giving them a heart of flesh, who's giving them his spirit that will allow them to want to follow his decrees and to keep his laws. And then he says at the end, you will be my people and I will be your God. This is God doing all the work. Where the people were incapable of keeping God's commands, where again and again they sin against him, where again and again they seek other things, other gods to fill them up and to pray to and to give their lives to. God says, your heart is a heart of stone, and only I can replace it with a heart of flesh. Your spirit, where it's unwilling, I'll give you my spirit that will allow you to follow my laws and my decrees. Guys, this is a beautiful message, and we see the full fulfillment of it in Jesus Christ. But we see a partial fulfillment of it for these people at this time. The Lord rebuilds what he has destroyed. He replants what he has pulled up, and he does a beautiful thing. He says, so will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And so these are the words that Ezekiel is given by the Lord. But then the Lord gives him this vision. And the vision, if you've ever heard of the Valley of the Dry Bones, that's the vision that God gives to go along with these words. And it's a vision of a desolate wasteland filled with bones. And God says, prophesy over these bones and tell them to come together. And so they all clink together. And then he says, prophesy to these clinked together bones and put flesh on them. And then he says, prophesy to these bones and put my spirit in them. And then he tells Ezekiel what that means. He says, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back from the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. So this is God saying to his people, I will bring you back into the land. I will give you life, and I will take what was dead in you and I will give it life. And it is a beautiful promise. And then we see at the end of chapter 37, this new kind of weird thing that God says. And this is actually a look forward to Jesus and also to Jesus's final return. So listen to what he says at the end of 37. My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children's children will live there forever. And David, i.e. Jesus, my servant, this is a messianic prophecy, will be their prince forever. Do you hear that forever terminology? I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. It's a picture of God dwelling with his people forever. It's a picture of his servant David, the person from the line of David, who even in Genesis is foretold in Genesis, the seed of the woman who crushes the head of the serpent, who then we find out is from the line of Abraham, who then we find out is from the line of David. This Jesus is king over them all. He is the one shepherd, and all of the people can follow his laws and his decrees, and they will live together with God, and his sanctuary will be among them. And did you hear that God is the one who makes his people holy, and his sanctuary is with them forever? So God is with his people, and his people are holy. And I don't know about you, but this is a picture of the end of the story. This is a picture of how God is going to bring all things and make all things right in his servant, Jesus. And so we see that, right? In our lives right now as Christians, we see that God has sent him to be the one to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us a new heart and a new spirit in us, like our verse says. Now, while it was prophesied by Ezekiel over God's people in that time, what is true for them is true for us even more in Christ. And this final truth that we see is the not yet, the yet to come beautiful fulfillment of all of these things in Jesus. When God returns and is with his people forever, and he dwells with us forever on the earth. This is a beautiful thing, guys. And I would say, right now, we are in that messy middle. We are in that place where, yes, Jesus has come. Yes, he has given us hearts that are soft and spirits that are willing. In verse 27, it says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Like, God has given us his own spirit. And that's how, as believers, we are able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to follow him and to do what is right, right? But so oftentimes we don't. And that's where this verse, like I said, has been following me around. This verse has been convicting my heart where it's hard and convicting my spirit where it's unwilling and not wanting to follow the Holy Spirit who is in me and to listen to his voice and his guidance. So as you memorize this verse with us this month, as this verse follows you around, would you allow it to be the very thing that's convicting your heart and saying, am I soft to God? Am I really following him in this or that situation? Or am I hard? Has my heart become hardened to the Lord and to his spirit? Finally, I just want to read you a prayer. It's the prayer that those of you who are members get on the card, on the back of the card that you get every month. It's a little print that we send out with the verse design on one side and some kind of devotional on the back. Well, this month I wrote a prayer and I keep praying this prayer because I think it's exactly the prayer that I need. So I'm going to pray it with you right now and then we'll close out. Lord, I cannot make this stone beat for you. I cannot breathe fresh life into my soul. I cannot resurrect all that's dead in me. I cannot change past failures or restore wrongs. I can only lament and mourn. I cannot bring life. I cannot make right. But you can. You make flesh from stone. You breathe spirit into dry bones. You not only make, but remake from death to life. You not only give, but forgive, from shame to favor. Where I weep, you dry tears. Where I've wandered, you set straight. You give life. You are and can make right. So work in me. Help this living heart you've given me beat in time with yours. Fill me with your spirit to walk in your ways, by your power and for your praise. Amen. Thanks for joining me today, guys. I pray that this would be your prayer in your heart, that God, who alone can change our hearts and can give us hearts that are soft towards him, just like I've been praying for myself all month long. Be sure to join me back here as we have some special guests this month. And we're going to be talking about how do we apply this verse? How do we live like this is true in our lives? Like our hearts have been changed and like we have the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us and leading us. How do we apply this verse to our lives? So now that you understand the context, man, we're going to dive in with some of these really hard application points, and I can't wait for you to join us. Thanks so much for being here today.